I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. It's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. On His word I'm feeding. On His word I'm feeding. I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading. I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be. That's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Sing that chorus again. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.
Amen. Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And glad to serve a God that cares. So we got a few prayer. Sister Angie Brown called in this morning and said pray for her. She's not feeling well. And let's see. Lisa's Parapro, Barbara's husband. I think I'm reading this right. Tested positive for COVID.
Leah.
Leah's Parapro, Barbara's husband, tested positive for COVID. Sure remember that. That's from Brother Josh. Brother Aaron put this in. Please pray for a friend of mine's grandson. He has an infection in his foot and is having surgery this morning. The doctors are concerned about the severity of the infection. So remember that. And then Brother Boyd said, Sister Janet just got bitten by a spider in her face, having some difficulties. And let's remember Brother Dale and Brother Terrence and all the other ones that are out and sick and afflicted this morning. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word that you sent to us, Lord God, to give us all these promises to remind us of the benefits of the gospel, Lord, that we're under the shadow of. And Lord, we know that we're not coming to you, Lord, just to an unfeeling, uncaring God, but we're coming to the high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, as we lay down all those requests before you, Lord Jesus,
yes,
we know, God, that you care and you still remember, Lord, your word that you give it to us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you'll just come upon the scene and minister to all these needs, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, in just the right way, Lord God. We know, Lord, that you're still an ever-present help, Lord God, in time of trouble. Lord, whatever the trouble is, Lord, all the ones, Lord Jesus, that have unspoken requests this morning, Lord Jesus, that need a touch from you, Lord God. We ask, Lord, that you'll minister to their needs, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, that you'll be with Brother Dale, Brother Wade this morning, Lord Jesus, and just put the words that we need, Lord, in his mouth, Lord God, and give him liberty, Lord Jesus, to speak whatever we have need of, Lord God, whatever you lay upon his heart, Lord. We just give you the praise and glory and honor for all these things, Lord Jesus, as we just turn this service over to you, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen.
Let it shine. Shine on me, Lord, shine. You may be seated. Shine on me, just let the light from the lighthouse shine. Once again.
Oh, shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Oh, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me.
To be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him.
Once again, to be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him.
Amen. Is that your desire this morning? To be like Him. Praise God. Let's sing this song, page 310. I love Him too much to fail Him now. We sung this a few weeks ago. I think it's E flat. We're just going to sing the chorus, page 310.
I love Him too much to fail Him now. Too much to break my vow, for I promised the Lord that I would make it somehow. I love Him too much to fail Him now.
Once again.
I love Him too much to fail Him now. Too much to break my vow, for I promised the Lord that I would make it somehow. I love Him too much to fail Him now.
Once again.
I love Him too much to fail Him now. Too much to break my vow, for I promised the Lord that I would make it somehow. I love Him too much to fail Him now.
Praise
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing that song on 311. Everybody will be happy over there. Praise God. But I think we need to start practicing that now. Be happy now. Show where you come from. Amen. Praise God. TFF.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout it, sing His praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praise. Everybody will be happy over there. We will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. Singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praise. Everybody will be over there. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by His grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy. Oh, sing that last verse again. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by His grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there. Let's stand to our feet as Brother Carly gets ready. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there.
Good morning. God bless you. Happy to be here again. Thank the Father has come with us and in our hearts. And pray that He will bless us while we're here. Thank you. Amen. We're going to read this morning from 2 Corinthians, first chapter. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for giving us the strength and desires in our hearts that we come together to worship. Father, we ask you to touch everyone that have a need, Lord, and heal the body, Lord, and give them strength. Lord, anyone that needing the spiritual lesson and understanding in their lives, Father, we pray that you will grant it to them. Lord, for we realize the hour that we live, the destroyer is going about, trying to hinder us in every way that they can. But Lord, we reach unto you and open our hearts and ask for your thanksgiving and blessings. Be upon us. Just remember Brother Wade this morning as he prepares to minister to us. God, we can receive that which you have given unto him, bring unto us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Second Corinthians, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, and all the saints which are at anxious.
Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of our comfort.
Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
And whether we be afflicted, consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation.
And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation.
Will you not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life?
But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that the gift be stored upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf.
For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you.
For we write none other things unto you, that what ye read are acknowledged, and I trust that ye shall acknowledge even to the end.
As also ye have acknowledged us in part, and that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus.
And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit.
And to pass by you in Macedonia, and to come in out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way towards thee.
When I was therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh with me, that should ye, that be yea, yea, and nay, nay?
But if God is true, our word toward you is not yea and nay.
For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Sylvester and Timothy, For not yea and nay, but in him was yea.
For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us.
Now we which establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us in God.
Who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts.
Moreover, I shall call for the reckoning upon my soul, that ye spare not. I come not as yet unto Corinth, nor the rest dominion over us, your faith, for help us of your joy, for the faith ye stand. Amen. God bless you. Receive it.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Colin.
Appreciate the Lord. Amen. Appreciate his word. Amen.
Praise God. We're going to take up our offering. Ask Brother John, could you help us, please?
Thank you, brother. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us once again to your house, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Truly, Lord, as your word says, by faith, Lord, we stand. And Lord, we just invite you, Lord, to continue to increase our faith, Lord, even this day. Bless us with the word, Father God. Let's use our brother as a vessel, Lord, to speak to our hearts, O God. We commit the remainder of this service into your hands, Lord. Meet every need, O God. And we certainly pray you bless the tithes and the offerings that come in, Lord Jesus. And just be with your people, Lord. We commit this service, tithes and offering, and all that we do into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. As Brother John passes that around, why don't we sing that song, Sister Esther, we sang a few weeks ago. Is that song? Do you have it? Do you have it like the Bible said? I don't remember what key we sung in. Maybe key of F. We can try that. If you know that song, sing it with us. So it's...
Do you have it? Do you have it? Oh, do you have it like the Bible says? Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it like the Bible says? Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it like the Bible says? Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it like the Bible says?
Yes, I have it.
Yes, I have it. Yes, I have it. Oh, yes, I have it like the Bible says. Yes, I have it. Yes, I have it. Yes, I have it like the Bible says.
Do you want it?
Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it like the Bible says? Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it like the Bible says? Do you have it? Do you have it? Oh, do you have it like the Bible says? Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it like the Bible says?
One more time.
Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it like the Bible says? Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it like the Bible says?
Amen. Praise God. Question that we need to ask ourselves. Amen. Do you have it like the Bible says? Amen. That's how we want it. Amen. Praise God. Are we ready for the word? Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Wade comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
God bless you, my way.
Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
You love him today.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up.
Thank you, Lord.
Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy.
See him in his word today. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back again. Good to have everybody here and smiling faces. All the musicians almost getting back.
Thank you. I forgot.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have our visitor Kayla with us. From Brother Luke Gibson's church. This just, her face not that red all the time. It's just when she's embarrassed. So, good to have her with us today. She's a friend of Esther, Sister Esther and Sister Olivia. So good to have her with us today. Just make yourself at home. Good to be at home. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'll greet you from Brother Dale. He said, tell everybody he loved you. He's on the mend. He's doing better every day. Getting his strength built back up. Eating very well. So that's good. And, Terrence is doing good. He's getting stronger and on the mend. He'll be back, should be back Wednesday maybe if we'll, I don't know about getting tested, but he's 10-day quarantine and then Lisa has to quarantine for that long or a little bit longer. So just keep us all in your prayers. It's just one of them things, you know, that's what we're kind of going to talk about a little bit today. We're going to get out of the norm of, it is still going to be not in the series of the two spirits that we've been talking about because we're battling two spirits right up to the end anyway. But we're going to talk today a little bit about why do the heathen rage? David brought that up and we're going to kind of go back into David's life and the way I got this thought was, and it's really strange, you know how Brother Branham one day picked up a pack of cigarettes or a pack out in the woods that somebody had thrown down, and he preached a very profound sermon from that, a thinking man's filter. Kind of strange, but you know what? That's what God used. So I was thinking the other day about all the sickness and all the stuff everybody's going through, and I look out at the world, and you know, you go to these places, and we're all trying to be good, and we're trying to wear a mask, and we're trying to social distance, and then here goes a guy walking by you smoking a cigarette, and you know, beers fall out of his car and he's just living any way he wants to and he's not sick. Right. It makes a human wonder. If it doesn't make you wonder, then you're not a human. But it does make you wonder, why do the heathen rage? Why can they do what they do? Right.
Yet the little bride seems to be suffering. Well, we'll show, I believe, what the Bible told us, how to take care of this. Because remember, this is not our world. This is not our home. Unless that guy gets regenerated and gets born again, the cigarette smoking guy, he's not going to make it past just white throne judgment. He has no other future. But you and I, we have a future. It's not even really a future. It's here. If you have eternal life today, it is here. Okay, but we do have a future home, something we can go to, all right? Because of maybe sometimes of our little sufferings that we suffer. But Brother Aaron, I'm sure he's downstairs because Levi didn't drive himself to church. So thank goodness. Whew. But pray for Brother Aaron will be speaking Wednesday night. We're going to keep on this line where the brothers will be doing Wednesday and I'll be doing Sundays till we get the plow master back. We want Brother Dale plowing again. Amen. And I know he's watching in, and I told Brother Bob, and this is the way God works, I believe. Because Brother Dale and I, we don't discuss a lot of things because sometimes you catch each other's spirit and I'm praying it's a Holy Spirit that we catch. But you get something may pull you off one side or the other. Brother Claude always said that would be stealing your fire. So the other night I was staying with Mom and Dad, and I was thinking about this sermon and just kind of putting it in and kind of not being in the framework of the two spirits. And you know how Dad cuts and pastes. You know, he literally cuts it out and pastes it on the piece of paper. Well, he was sitting across the room there, him and Mom, and I was sitting on the couch, and I had my computer up, and I was getting the sermon ready. And he just started preaching. So he's ready to go. We just got to get his body. But I'm sitting there typing almost what he's talking about. Amen. And I'm just going, uh-huh. And I'm just doing this. And he's talking away and preaching away and talking about death and how that, you know, we suffer this and we do go through this. And I'm just sitting there putting quotes in right and left and pulling scriptures up and cutting and pasting them in. What you're going to see right now, it's basically what he was preaching on. So I kind of figured this is in a good line. Yes, if he was thinking about it, then, you know, and Brother Bob, there he was Wednesday night, and Brother Luis, everybody's kind of been plowing in the same field. So we appreciate that. Right. You ought to appreciate that because that's God. That's not me and Bob and Luis and Aaron and Dad get together and go, now, what are we going to preach on? No. We kind of let God talk to Bob. God talked to Brother Luis, different ones. You understand what I mean? So he'll probably smile when we start reading some of these scriptures and quotes that he was talking about the other night, sitting around in the living room. So, but he's getting on to me. And next Sunday we're going to do the same thing. So just keep doing the same thing we've been doing for a little while. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And we're just going to preach today just a little bit and talk about a man named David. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and hour that we're living in. As the scripture said there, Brother Colley was reading, the day of the Lord. This is truly not a 24-hour day, Lord. This is your day. This is your time. This is your bride. This is your word that you've given us for this end time. You have equipped us for everything we need. Lord, all we have to do is put on that helmet, grab the sword, put on the shield, all the different things, Lord, that we need to do and go out to battle because we've already won. We've just got to have faith to believe that it's happening now and it's not coming in the future. Father, we pray that you'd bless the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here today. Father, we pray that you'd be with them. Be with the ones on the highways. Be with the missionaries, Lord. Be with all of them in the foreign fields, Lord. Everybody's kind of on their own now and not traveling back and forth so much. So I pray that you would lift the people up, Lord, and take care of them and lead them and guide them by your Holy Spirit, Lord. We know you do the work, but you said you would do it through human beings, Lord. So we pray that you would touch all of us here in the building. Lord, use me for your service. Bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's David, the great king, In Psalms 2, verse 1, right at the very first of the psalm, he says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Now, there's your two spirits. And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But watch what David said. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. In other words, whatever they got, God's already up there. He's already got the plan worked out. He already knows what they're going to do, and he already has provision made. He didn't have to create a standard. He just raised it up. Amen, because he is the standard. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing, the reading of his word. Like I said, today we're just going to preach a little bit. We'll just kind of take that subject there. Why do the heathen rage? And I want you to keep that in your mind, because it does go through your mind. Why in the world? I know Sister Ruth's sitting here, you know, and I thank God for her being in that COVID ward, helping us to find Dad the different times I don't want to say lost him, but we didn't lose him like that, but, you know, the hospital kind of moved him around. So anyway, it's good to have friends in places like that and a good sister to take care, and may God protect her to take care of all of these. But like she said today, this morning, she was talking about a 90-year-old, the older lady, 90-year-old lady that had COVID, and she's walking around bouncing off the walls trying to get out of the hospital, has hardly any symptoms at all. But yet you see a 30-year-old or a 40-year-old come in there and they have to put them on a respirator. Well, why does all this happen? And like I said before, you know, you try to go into Walmart and you try to go to these different places and you walk around and you're trying to keep your lungs clear and you're trying to do the best you can do. And the first thing you do is you walk through this cloud of cigarette smoke. You see the guy laughing with the beer in his hand and he's just having a good time. And wow, I mean, you know, it just makes you wonder. And I believe that's what happened to David, because here's David. Now let's take David just for a minute and then we're going to read on a little further in the Psalms, in Psalms 18 in just a minute. But look now, David as a young boy was anointed by Samuel to be king. Amen. So he knew, he believed what his prophet said. That sound familiar? We believe, even though before he even set one foot on the throne, Samuel anointed him, the prophet of the hour anointed this boy, but the boy had to mature. But he anointed him nonetheless. And so God sent us a prophet in the end time. And he proclaimed an anointing on you and I that we were going to what? We were going to mature or come to maturity like no other age has come to maturity. Amen. And that you and I are going to come to a body change that no one else has come to except the Lord Jesus himself. No man has reached immortality except what? Jesus Christ. Amen. No one. You say, what about Enoch? See, you go asking questions. I don't worry about that. God's got that. I'm just going by what I see that the prophet of God told us, that we are going to, someone is going to take a body change in this hour, that death is going to be destroyed. Death will be just like a toothache. Our Brother Brown said cancer would be like a toothache. Well, look at what's going on now. Look at this, how it affects people. Like we were talking this morning, you just can't figure the thing out. That's the problem. It kind of bounces around all over people. And we're talking about this COVID, but let's go back to David. He was anointed by his prophet of the hour at a very young age. Remember, he went through all them brothers. Nope, not the first age, not the second age, not the third age, not the fourth. He come to the seventh. He come into the seventh church age and he said, oh, you are now anointed to be king. And no doubt David probably realized it, but you know what? David went right back out into the field and was watching sheep the very next day. Why? Because he was an obedient child. But In his mind, he got a revelation. Now listen, this is what I'm asking you today. Do you believe what your prophet anointed you with? If you believe, then it doesn't matter. That's why I said about David. David went through all this adversity. Even as a young child, he killed a bear. He killed a lion. And as a very young boy, he killed a man named Goliath. Those things were just bumps in the road for David because he that seed had been planted in his mind, in the womb of his mind, that he was going to be the king. You know why? Because he believed Samuel. And I believe while he was swinging that thing and he was... He said, got to get through this. This is my next battle. I got to get through the next one because you know what? My throne is in Jerusalem. My throne is down there. That's where I've got to go. And this is what I got to get by. This is what I got to get through. As Brother Bob was talking about Wednesday night, sometimes, and we do, we get caught up with circumstances and we get caught up with in our mind, why does this person it seem not to affect? And why? We don't need to worry about that. David didn't worry about, he didn't even worry about Saul. And Saul became his enemy. He didn't worry about King Saul. He knew that was only temporary. He knew what he was fixing to do to Goliath was only temporary. But he had to do it. He had to go through it. He had to kill the bear. He had to kill the lion. He had to kill Goliath. He had to do these things in his journey. But what was the end result? David did sit on that throne and became, this is what I was thinking about yesterday. David was so blessed as a king. God thought so much of David. He said, your throne is going to be all the way into the millennium. Now remember, David's not going to sit on the throne, but the son of David, Jesus Christ, is going to sit on the throne ruling the 12 tribes of Israel in the millennium as the throne of David. That's how much he thought about that man that took what his prophet said and just kept walking. Doesn't matter the adversity that David had. David had many opportunities to just say, I quit. I'm done. I'm finished. But he killed Goliath. But now watch. Then he made Saul mad. Then he had to depend on God to get by Saul. Because Saul was a king. No doubt Saul had spies. It wasn't just one man, Saul, trying to kill David. No. He had a council that he would, I'm sure he said, all right, guys, first time you see this man right here, I want him dead. So David had to take that into account. Every day, something was trying to kill him. Something was trying to end his life. Be it COVID, be it cancer, be it whatever you want to talk about. Every day of your life, something is right here. Remember, there's a shadow of death. But remember what Brother Brown said. Thank God for a prophet. Brother Brown said there had to be a light to be a shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So there's got to be light there. But that shadow is what's cast behind us. And that shadow was cast behind David pretty much all his life. But he believed what his prophet told him. And he sat on that throne just exactly like Samuel said he would. Now remember, there had to be a Saul there at first. Then you had David. He won many battles, folks. Remember the mulberry tree? David said, God, should I go now? Well, now the first time he was with the Philistines, he was fighting the Philistines. Kind of strange, he started fighting with them at one time. You read that? He started fighting with the Philistines that he had killed the big giant, and he started fighting with them. But here in one time I was reading last night, where he comes to a place, he says, God, how many times do we do that? See, that's why David was the apple of God's eye. Every time he come into a battle, he didn't just force his way into the battle. He said, God, should I go up today? God, should I put my feet on the ground and go to work and fight the traffic and fight the heathens? God says, David, go up, for the battle is yours. Wow. You say, oh, I've never heard that voice in my head. You got the word. What do you need anything else? You got the word to tell you what to do. It's already been spoken. All right. So then you got another time where David says, okay, God, here's the Philistines. We've got them in this and we got them in that. And he says, wait. He said, go sit under that mulberry tree. He said, when you hear the going or the rushing in the mulberry tree, he said, then the battle will be yours. See, now what would have happened if David would have just took off? He'd have lost that battle. Why? Because he went ahead of the plan of God. Amen. Amen. God's plan was, now you say, well, why did God make him wait? Obedience. Amen. God's looking for obedient people. That you want to try to rush in something or try to take care of this situation yourself. Yeah, I owe myself too. How many of you are guilty of that? If you don't raise your hand, I'll raise your hand for you. Amen? Okay, all right. It goes up just like this. Because every one of us have been in a situation, but what did David do? David didn't say, now Lord, I think we can get it right now. Right now is when we can get it. He said, okay, Lord. I'm going to go sit under that mulberry tree. I don't know what you got for me, but they're right there. He said, David, the battle is yours. When you hear the going in the mulberry tree, he said, you take up arms. And he literally run them out of the country. Amen. So that's what the devil's in our life that we've got to do in our everyday life is listen for that going of the mulberry tree. What did Brother Brown say about Elijah? Elijah had a lot of things on his plate, but he waited for that still small voice. He had all the shouting and all the glory and all the different things, but he was like David. He went and sat under a mulberry tree and said, okay, Lord, what's next? And why do the heathen rage? Why, Lord, do we sisters have to have this long hair? We were somewhere the other day and I saw this woman. She's an older lady. Bless her heart. Her hair was as short as that. And I thought, man, all she's got to do is get up in the morning and just kind of do like we do. Shake it off and, you know, don't even have to brush your hair. Kind of like Timbo back there, you know. He looks all messed up all the time. But, see, that's easy. But you sisters have long hair. You can't just go out the door. Are y'all with me today?
Yeah.
See the things that this is the light suffering or the small suffering things that we do. We're looking at it all wrong because I'm going to read you many, 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 many scriptures and many quotes today. Brother Bram said, character is a victory, not a gift. Amen. We have gifts of the Spirit that God will give us these gifts. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Even these. But now remember, that is character. Character is a victory, not a gift. What a profound statement. I have a few t-shirts that I wear wear proudly because I enjoy it. That's a wonderful quote. I'd rather have quotes by Brother Branham on my chest than quotes by whoever. Amen? Amen? So here we have David. But now remember, David comes to a point. He comes to a point and he says, Lord, we kind of messed up the other day, you know, what are we doing? We lost a few men and we might have lost a little battle here. So what's going on? David just didn't realize that he was fixing to get drove off of his throne by his own kid. And I believe that David, in the stillness of the night, just like you and I all have doubts and fears, and you go, why, Lord, does the heathen rage? David says, God, I know I'm an anointed king. And now I don't even have a throne to sit on. But you know, remember though what David did. David didn't complain. He just made a statement. Lord, why does the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. I'm the king. He had the whole of the of Jerusalem or Israel behind David. But he had one little problem. And when he did, he got thrown off the throne. And I'm sure he sat up on that hill, and just like Jesus sat up on that hill and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have hovered you under my wing? Why? But you would not, because they, what, rejected him. Remember, David was a rejected king.
Yes.
Amen. So but now remember, David didn't have a pity party because he knew still, even though he was in the valley, even though he was a king in exile, even though he only had about 600 men where he had 60,000, but I'll promise you one thing. I'll take the 600 David had. You imagine three men fighting for 2 miles through the Philistines just to get him a drink of water. You think that's how much they thought of that man David? And David took it with so much honor, he said, I'm not even worthy to drink this. And poured it out on the ground. Now, he didn't pour it out on the ground for anything. Remember, the Bible said he poured it out for an offering to God. That them three men fought their way 2 miles through the Philistines to get that. For David, they thought that much of him. But he was driven out of his kingdom. And I'm sure he sat up there one day, and this is where Psalms 2 comes from, because we're going to read down, if you'll pull up Psalms 18, because there's a time when David had victory over all of his enemies. There's a time when he come to where he said, look, this is to the chief musician, the Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now remember, David had went through a whole lot.
Amen.
Giant, bear, kicked out. Saul's trying to kill him. David's got enemies on every hand. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. Wow. Pretty close. Why? Because Saul was going to kill him. And he sent people every day to try to kill David. So I'm telling you, folks, if you have the hand of the Lord on you, if you're a born-again believer, the footsteps of the righteous, like I said, are order of the Lord. You will not go until God's done with you. And when he's done with you, I'm ready to go.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
When God's done.
Amen.
Circumstance, whatever it is, the sorrows of death compassed me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. We walk out in this world, and don't tell me we don't have a certain amount of fear. I said a certain amount.
Amen.
We're supposed to walk by faith, but we're not going to walk out here in the middle of this road and say, God, you're going to stop that 18-wheeler.
Right.
Now, if God gives you a vision and God gives you an anointing, you can walk out into the road, and God will save you like he did the prophet with the bull and all the different things. But listen, he hasn't done that to me. Now, if he's done it to you, that's fine. I'm not going out there. Because there's danger, and I'm afraid that's going to hurt me. But what are we going to do, though, folks, when it comes? See, it's come personal to all of us now. Everybody has been impacted, whether it even be not COVID, but now it just feels like, I don't know if it's with you, but there's just a sickness in the air. There's just a fog. Brother Donnie's daughter's dealing with stuff, you know, and all. Everybody's even got people. And he was dealing with stuff that wasn't COVID related, but it's all sickness. It's all seems like the, you know, Lord, where are you? And that's why David, why does the heathen rage? Who was he talking to? He was talking to God. Lord, why do you let people prosper that are, seem to be evil men? Have you not ever thought that? Have you not ever wondered, like Sister Ruth said, well, never wondered that, you know, you got this just a vile person cursing and smoking and drinking. He walks in and he might have a little case of cold and they give him a couple of shots and out the door he goes. And then you bring in a godly saint or a godly saint of God and they have problems. And they seem to struggle with it. I mean, in your mind today, we all struggle with it. But David asked that one question, why does the heathen rage? And the people In other words, bring a vanity. Vanity of vanities. Folks, listen, we're living in this world temporarily.
That's right. Amen.
Just realize one thing's for sure. If you're born again today, doesn't matter what God lets allow happen to you, it's for your benefit. I'll clap myself. It's for your benefit. We don't know. It's like Brother Bob said, those, what sparked some of this sermon, is that like David, now listen, we're not prophets that we know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we see roadmaps and we see signs on the way. Signs follow the believers, okay? So you look at the signs, and David looked at the sign. He said, I killed a bear. That wasn't too bad. Killed a lion. Who's this? It's just another bump in the road. It's just another something that I got to get through because I'm going to be king. Now, why are you and I, we're in Revelation 5, we're told we're to be priests and kings and that we'll rule and reign on the earth. Now, it doesn't say that you're going to have a flowery bed of ease. It doesn't say that you're just going to one day pop up and... No. The Bible says fiery trials. Afflictions. We'll read those in a few minutes. We'll read what Brother Brown said about it. But I want you to look at David, though. The sorrow of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Now, remember... Remember the end of this story. Where did David end up? He was on the throne. He died the king of Israel.
Amen?
Amen. And then he had Solomon, of course. We know that. But anyway, David is restored, just like Job. Look at Job's circumstances. None of us has went through what Job went through. Boils all over our body. Our wife telling us to curse God and die. All your kids died. Your house was destroyed. You're sitting on the ashes of your house. But what did he do with Job? Job said, I know. In other words, I know I've been anointed for some purpose. And this journey is yet but a light affliction. Because remember, he was restored double. You and I are restored double. You know why? Because we got eternal life now, but we're going to get eternal life in this body.
Amen.
This body's going to be eternal.
Yes.
Job didn't have that. Job said, oh, I know. Job said, I know I got to go to the grave because I see people go down and they don't come back up. He said, but I know my Redeemer liveth, and in the last days, in my flesh, I shall see God.
Yes.
Amen. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him even into his ears. Look how personal it is. God's got ears? Yeah. God's a human, remember? Then the earth shook and trembled. This world is going to tremble and shake when we come to what Bob was talking about, the manifestation of the sons of God. We're getting a little piece of it every once in a while now. But when this thing starts coming together, which I believe it is now, we come into speaking condition. Listen, there's one thing for sure. The anointing that's on us is going to Israel in those two prophets.
Right.
And they're going to take that sixth seal and they're going to pull plagues as many as they want to pull. Earthquakes as many times as they speak. Well, don't you think you and I are going to have a small temporary amount of that on this side? Because it's the same anointing.
Right.
And to get us out of here, to get David, listen... What protected David from Saul killing him? God! And the belief that he was going to sit on the throne. Same way with me and you. Why do the heathen rage, Lord? Why? Why is my neighbor? Why is my brother that don't even serve you? Not, I'm not talking about mine, but you know, some of you don't have brothers that serve the Lord. Why is my sister? Why is my kids? Why? Why cry? Why cry? Listen, I preach every Sunday with the promise that my children are going to be sitting right here, all of them. Have one back there, but I'm talking about my daughter. I don't go home. Oh yeah, in my humanity I do. I go home and I as the old saying is, kick the dog. No, I don't kick the dog. Toby, I don't kick Toby. He's too little. But, you know, you kind of, you kick the table and you go, what in the world is going on? My kids are, now really, Abraham didn't do that. Abraham just kept walking. And that's what you and I got to do. Keep walking and you will walk into it, but do not stop walking.
Amen.
Circumstances is what's killing us. But listen, circumstantial evidence will not stand up in a court of law. Our evidence is what? The Word told us what we were going to be in this hour. Not Luther, not Wesley, not Pentecost. This hour. This day of the Lord. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down and darkness was under his feet. You know why? He came to judge. But if you and I have already been judged, we don't stand that. We've already took the fiery judgment of God when Christ went to the cross and took that judgment. I know this is elementary and I know this is going to be simple, but I want you to build yourself to where you can see that it's not, God has not left us. And just because the little things that we do or don't do or have done or are the light afflictions, as Paul would tell us. How many of y'all been stoned? How many of you been stoned? How many of you have had 39 lashes twice? I'm talking about bent over, tied to a post. And I'm sure they're not going, no. Isn't it like 39, isn't it 40, they say it would kill you or something, you know, he got 39 twice. Paul said these light afflictions. And we got problems. This light affliction. He wore those stripes his whole life. Psalms 37. The steps of a good man. Now remember, we always quote it. The steps of a righteous man. That's not in the Bible. This is the scripture we're talking about. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Amen. Though he fall, we're going to. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord what? Upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young. Now this is David now. David in the Psalms. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Listen, we've never been hungry. We've never been hungry. I went to Kroger last night and the place had millions of dollars worth of food in it. And I just bought what I needed. We're not in any kind of tribulation here. Okay? We're still able to eat what we want to. But you know what? Satan knows that our body is weak. Because we're getting stronger and stronger inside. That inside man's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And Satan cannot hinder that. Except through your body. And then he can get in your spirit realm and he can give you a memory. He can say, oh, don't you know that pain. I'll get you. How many times have you ever had somebody, a little voice in your head say, you're going to die? About once or twice every hour. I'm going to get you today. Devil told me one time, he said, you'll never see your wife again. That's been months ago. Months ago. He's a liar.
Yes,
if he does get to you, he's got to ask God's permission.
That's right. Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. He's got to come to God. And he's got to go, can I do something to heal? Please. Can I do something to heal? And God's like, touch his body, but leave his soul alone. That's what he did with Job, right?
Right.
He said, you go ahead. But God knew what you would be at the end.
That's right.
And what we've got to believe is that we believe the same thing God believes.
Right.
Yes. We got to believe the same thing God's already believing about us. Because
right.
He's going to have a bride that will make it.
Absolutely.
He's going to have a bride in speaking condition.
Yes. Yes. Right.
But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Psalms 27 verse 1. This is a little bit of long reading, but I want to read this right here anyway. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Amen. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh. Now remember, you got to use the metaphor. It's not eat. Consume. Satan has consumed this flesh because you know what? We're getting older and older and older. But that, remember, we have an example. Abraham was 99 years old when God produced the promise.
Amen.
We know he was changed back.
Right.
But Abraham had to say, as Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. He had to take it up here.
Amen.
And he had to just keep walking.
Right.
All right? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. You say, bring it on, devil. Well, you better be careful. But they stumbled and fell.
Right.
Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not trying to preach the power of positive thinking, but it sure helps.
Amen.
Wowsy, wowsy, woo. Brother Jewel, one thing have I desired of the Lord.
Amen.
One thing, David said, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, not house. We're not talking about house. We're talking about the household.
Right.
Amen. We're not talking about the house. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The prayer is. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What? The economy of God.
Amen.
The domain of God all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Now, where is the temple at today, though? Right here. For in the time of trouble, I believe this is Brother Bram. Didn't he read this in the rapture message? I believe he did. I just want to know if y'all caught that or not. For in the time of trouble, he shall leave me alone and take off and go on vacation. That's the way we read it sometimes. Amen? Why do the heathen rage, Lord? For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. If you could look beyond this veil of flesh, you would see an innumerable amount of angels taking care of you. Even while you sleep, they're taking care of you. God has pronounced to you and I, priests and kings, and he's going to see it. But we need some help because we're human beings and we have human thoughts and human ideas. And I know you've all thought this. That's kind of why I wanted to come through this and see that we're not left alone, and we know that. But sometimes we got to be given a little bit of, you know.
Amen.
Come on, David.
That's it.
For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a revelation.
Amen.
That's what a rock is, right? He shall set me upon a revelation. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. How positive this is. Therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of what? Joy!
Hallelujah.
I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy all upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Remember, this is obedient child. Verse 9, hide not thou face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take me up. I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham, Brother Branham said. I'm a son of God. Teach me thy way, O Lord. That's what we've been for 50 and 60 years. God has been teaching us how to get deliverance from what we're in our daily, right now, today, not 6 months ago. Or who would have thought this a year ago?
That's right.
We're coming up on a year almost, but who would have thought this a year ago? Right? Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in plain paths because of mine enemy. Because now look, we're gonna look in just a few minutes. Why does he keep saying enemy? You gotta have an enemy. To be approved, you gotta have an adversary. To build character, if it's a victory, it has to be a victory over an enemy. It's not a victory over the victorious. It's victory over that number two spirit that we've been talking about. So look, that's why I put in the word enemies, and boy, look at all the stuff comes up. But you gotta have them. Jesus had an enemy. Everybody in the Bible had an enemy. There was an enemy somewhere in the picture. So you and I, where are we different? We ain't different. Same enemy. Different tactics though, because what he's done now, he's moved into the religious realm. But see, if he can't get us in the religious realm, if we've been taught well, if we're sitting together in heavenly places, been taught well, and we know how to handle what's coming, the shots that the devil's taking, what's the next thing he's going after? This guy. Because he still knows he has a little bit of hold on your flesh. And he for sure can run into your memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemy, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed. In other words, I was going to faint. I'm getting faint, but I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen.
Wait on the Lord. That's our problem. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart, the very heart of you. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now he said that twice. So we better do that. If he says something twice, we better listen to what he's saying. Isaiah 59:18. This is very familiar, but we're going to read it again. According to their deeds, according he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his... Listen, folks, you and I, even though what all we're going through, we're not going to go through what this world is going to go through when we leave here. God has took us in that pavilion. He's put us in a rocket ship. And he's going to eject us out of here. And then all hell's going to break loose. This ain't nothing compared to what's coming, to what God has protected you from. Even though you fall over the day without a breath in your body, you're more alive that way than you are sitting here today, because today you're dying. But over that sixth dimension, you cannot, you are eternal. According to their deeds, according he will repay. So don't worry. Why do the heathen rage? Don't worry. We are the same as the Lord Jesus. We want this whole world to be saved.
Yes.
Listen, I'm telling you, if you walk through that, listen, I didn't walk through that cloud of smoke saying, God, strike that man dead. That's not the right attitude to have. God, give that man my sickness. No. What'd Jesus say? Give it to me. Jesus said, I'll take it. I'll take every sin you did. I'll take every sickness you'll ever have. That was enough for just one person. He did it for the whole world. Think of the circumstances. He still got scars for your sins and my sin. Amen? According to their deeds, according he will repay. So don't worry. You and I have already been judged. So it does not matter what happens to this flesh. It will come back. 100%.
Yes.
As Job says, as a flesh of a baby.
Hallelujah.
But folks, they don't have a hope. It's going to be horrible when we leave this place. The Bible says your flesh will rot off of your body and the birds will eat your flesh while you're still alive. And we go home and go, oh, woe is me. I got a pain. Light affliction. Temporary. If you don't look at it that way, folks, it's going to drive you crazy. Recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the east and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, which we know they will, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. Now remember, he didn't have to build it. He just lifted it up. It's already been built. He's just going to lift it up. And if Satan goes higher, he just keeps going higher. You don't have to sit there and keep, I got to build. Boy, here's COVID. I didn't know that was coming up, so I got to. No. Already done. Before the foundation of the world. And the Redeemer shall come to where? Zion. That's you and me. And to them that turn from transgression in Jacob. He's talking about the Jews. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Now look, my covenant. Does God ever break a covenant? Never. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, from henceforth and forever. God said it. That settles it. Henceforth, forever. Micah 7, verse 7. Therefore, while I look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. Now, that's what I mean. You look at those people out there in the world that has absolutely no hope. You want God to help them, but you know what? They can't even help themselves. They can't help themselves. All they got to do is do what you did. Because you was in the same shape they were. We weren't born with a silver spoon in our mouth. Or like Brother Louis said, but we weren't born with eternal life in our soul. We were born with an eternal gene that was in God. And God was waiting. Boy, how patient. God was waiting on you to say, I want that. And what God do? Mary did not carry around this literal seed to bring Jesus Christ. She wasn't born with it. She had to receive it. Same way with you and I. We weren't born with Jesus in our soul. We had to receive it. One day you had to stand here or wherever you were and say, be it unto me. According to thy word, you said, if I be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, if I repent and be baptized, that you give me the Holy Ghost. There's your seed. Because your seed is the word. Not a literal seed. So see, when you make even the seed as a word, you weren't born with the word. Listen, you weren't even born by the word. Natural. Remember, you had to be born by the breath of God spiritually. That's why you look, I don't see why these people in the message don't believe. They're just like Nicodemus. Jesus says, you must be born again. Right. Nicodemus should have said, I was born right the first time. No, Nicodemus, what'd he say? Have I got carnal? Have I got to go get back into my mother's womb and be birthed again? If I was Jesus, I'd have said, no, that's what's killing you now. He said, no, Nicodemus, you got to be born from above. Amen? You got to be born from above. And he didn't understand any of that, but you and I do. Nothing in our natural birth, but in our spiritual birth is what regenes us or regenerates us and takes us away from all this. Not from pain and sorrow and sickness, not, please. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. That's what I said before. We all, it's nothing we gave up. God took it away from us. I cursed. I drank, never smoked. Cursed, I drank. God took that away from me. He took it away. He didn't just suppress it. No, He took it away from me. But when people look at you and you talk out in the world and they try to hand you a beer or hand you something, it's like, oh, poor you. People that don't understand Christian life, they go, oh, poor you. What do you mean we can't go hunting on Sunday? Now, I don't have a problem going hunting on Sunday if you're out where you can't go. You understand what I mean? I don't mind that. The prophet didn't either. But usually, if you know me and my daddy, we find a church somewhere to go. So anyway, if it did, come on, man. You don't want to go. You used to drink. We used to have parties. We used to have fun. Oh man, we used to cuss that guy out when he cut us off in the road. We used to, give him the first finger wave or the second finger wave. Right? What kind of fun do you have? Well, I go to church on Sunday. All day? Well, we used to. We're getting back to that. Don't you get used to one service. Brother Dale done said that. We don't get used to one service. Amen? All right? But you can get used to it for a moment. But you know, they look at you like, oh, poor you. Oh, sister, what do you do to your hair? I bet it takes you an hour. I just take mine and, hers is short as that. And she goes, out the door she goes, pulls her britches on and, what's wrong? What's, we've been changed. Even our thought process has been changed. It's a privilege to go to church on Sunday that we've set just one day. Out of seven. Not counting Wednesday night, but just one day. To glorify God. And to come into His tabernacle, to come into His pavilion. And let Him tell us what He's already said about us. That's a privilege. They don't have to put on a pair of shorts and a tank top because it's hot and then go walk down the beach with my wife with a bikini on. But they look at you and they go, we feel so far. Sorry for y'all. June's family, and other families, if they don't say anything or they do, that extended family that can't understand you, they go, oh, man, poor Sister June. Bless her heart. She wears dresses all the time. I bet it's horrible. Having to fix that hair. At least you don't spend 2 hours in front of a stinking mirror putting makeup on. That's what I don't understand. Lord, you go in, I'm just going to preach. You go in at some of these places and you go, sinners, and you go to their bathroom or whatever and they let you go. You're sitting there talking to them, your family or something. You walk in the bathroom and you go, they can't be that many kind of eyeliner. They can't be that many colors of whatever that stuff they put on. Rouge and all that. Eyeliner and stuff. It's just everywhere. It's like a Max Factor factory. You open it up and you go, what? And you look over here and it scares you to death. You think it's spiders, but it's the eye extenders. Eyebrow things and all, or eyelash extenders. But you see what they go through and say that it's good. They say this is normal. And would scare you to death in the morning before she put the stuff on. That's fake. This is original. This is the original that God wants. They think we're crazy. Saw a guy walk out. So I got walked out. We were living in Gainesville. You know, when the kids first started wearing their pants way down to here, you know. This is no joke. This guy walks out of a convenience store. And this is his comfort zone. Because he didn't bother me to go buy a beer in the store or order one in the restaurant. Why? Because I wasn't born again. I had a familiar spirit like they did. So birds of a feather flock together. But here's this guy. You'd see this. He's got 2 24 packs of Bud Light because it's in blue. He comes out the door and he pushes the door open and I'm getting gas, you know, I look up. He's got them right here and he has to walk. I'm sorry. He has to walk like this because he don't have nothing to pull his pants up with. So he's walking and I thought, what an effort. He just spent $40 to get drunk and probably destroy something, marriage, somebody's property, say something he ain't going to, doesn't want to say. You see what I'm saying? This is normal though. And he can't pull his britches are down to here. And he's going out to the car. And I thought, dude, that's normal. You know, and his friends are going, whoa, he carry a beard, he can't be pants pulled up. That's normal? But that is to them. And then here you go up and pay for your gas and get you a Coke or whatever and a pack of crackers or something. And then you say, God bless you. And the guy behind the counter almost has a heart attack. Because mostly they'll look at you and go, what God you talking about?
Right.
They don't even know God. Listen, folks, you and I are the most normal people. Kids, you go to school, you are the most normal person in that school. Because you took a stand for God that's going to last for an eternity, not just for 12 grades. An eternity. An eternity. They can't even think eternal. They only think 70 years and I'm done. Where am I going? I don't know. What kind of God am I going to meet? I don't know. Knowing what you know now, could you live that way? I'd go crazy. I'd go crazy. I mean, I'd go bat crazy. I wouldn't know what to do. Even though the things we go through that we walk through every day, just like David, we walk one step at a time. And the world calls you weird. Don't worry, they do. Don't worry. But when you walk through Walmart, sisters, you know what? If somebody ever turns and says, well, old granny, you're going to be the judge of that person. At the white throne judgment, you're going to stand there in judgment. And that person's going to have to give an account for berating you living a Christian life. The saints will judge the earth. How are you going to judge them? By their short hair? By your short hair and your prance? No! You're going to judge them by the word of God, which you are living. Kids, I know this is... I know it's hard to believe, but this is only temporary. Anything you do, I watched Deanna go through things as a young kid that she would just get all crazy about. She's 12 now and they don't even bother. You go through things as kids, you go, I'm never going to live through this. Oh, my friends. Oh. Don't worry about it. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Because I'm telling you, when you get my age and some of these other brothers' age, the things even at 20 and 30 and 40 that bothered me, don't bother. Why? Because it's temporary. But you know what bothers me? It's when I'm not right with God. And I don't mean by going out and doing what I used to do. I mean by not just studying more and praying more. But you know what? God knows that. That's why I'm going to read to you in just a little bit when I get to it. That's why God has to put us through this.
Yes.
He knows what you need as an individual. If you're a child of God and your footsteps are ordered of the Lord, Brother Zach, don't look at what some other brother's having to go through. You look at what you got to go through. Everybody look at what you got to go through because it's an individual affair with God. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. That's what I said before. That's what we're bearing. We're coming to church on Sunday. Y'all can stay all day. I got a lot of beekeeper friends, and Lord bless them. But they do their one Sunday morning, and by 12 o'clock, they're home. So when I would, you know, be second service, it's about 2 o'clock, they'd start me calling, wanting to know what this and what to do, and buying sugar and buying honey and all this stuff, you know, and have to keep the phone cut off. And I'm like, I answer if I'm like, I'm in church. Or I'll say, I was in church. You go to church all day? Yeah? And I enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
You can go enjoy what you want to. I enjoy this. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it and shame. Folks, let me tell you something. The most shameful people are going to be is that person that shamed you down here. And they're going to stand before the judgment bar and they're going to have to look at you. Because remember, you didn't shame the Lord. Oh yeah, you did. But you shamed the Lord through that person. Wow. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? In other words, people ask, well, why we're supposed to be this great Christian, you know, bride of Jesus Christ. Why in the world are we getting this dreaded disease? It's for mine and your perfection.
Yes, that's right.
Can't come no other way. Won't come no other way.
That's right.
It's what you're going to do with it. It's what's going to determine your journey.
Yeah.
It's the journey.
That's right.
Okay. Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. How many times we read that scripture where it said there, talking about Satan, that he would be just something laying on the side of the road. And we're going to look down and say, is this the man that wrought destruction on kingdoms? That gave me all that torment. That's what we're going to, and listen, I believe we're going to look on him now. Because that is the last enemy.
Right.
Is death, physical death, is the last enemy we got to defeat.
Right.
And where does that come from? Satan. It doesn't come from God. That's what Brother Dale was talking about, and I was writing, I was getting quotes. We might get to them, we might not. So let's go to the first quote and listen to what Brother Brown said in the Smyrna Church Age. Everybody all right? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? Just a little bit of encouragement here. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. Oh, Brother Brown, why? Well, he's reading the Bible. He's reading what the Bible says. All right? Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. Now you say, oh, now God is... No, he knows if he lets you go, what you'll do.
Amen.
He's a good daddy.
Amen.
But he's a just daddy. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering.
Right.
You got to have an enemy.
Yeah.
Got to have one.
Right.
Got to have the two spirits. You got to have the enemy.
Yes.
But the enemy just doesn't know that God's using that enemy to push you closer to God, not closer to the enemy,
right,
if you're a child of God. Character is a victory, not a gift. So God's not just going to give you a gift of character. It's a victory. Something you won. He that overcometh. A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. Have you ever thought about this? God is all-knowing. He has no limit, right? If God doesn't have character, look what he could do. He'd just destroy us all. He could do whatever he wanted. Right? He still can. But he doesn't want to. His character forbids him. Because Satan has no character, so he just kills everything he sees. Perverts. And in that way it dies. A man without character can't reign. So now if you and I have the mind of Christ, supposed to be having the mind of Christ, we're supposed to be having the character, that is the character of God right there. Then how are we to act? The same way. Power, apart from character, is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne, he's talking about Revelation 3, about us sitting in the throne. On the same basis that he overcome and is set down with his Father's throne, that we have to overcome to sit with him. Alright? See, they didn't know you was in church, don't they? And since he wanted to share even his throne, a little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? No, sir. We all have trials. We are all tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through it. So we're not immune, folks. The church that is not suffering, now this one's hard to swallow. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried, it isn't of God. Whew. We believe our prophet now? No, we believe what he said good about us back yonder. Yeah. No, the church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. Whoa. All right. Keep going. Hebrews 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, no one's excluded, then ye are bastards and not sons. Now, this special condition in Smyrna must be applied to every age. There is no age free from it. There is no true believer free from it. This is of God. This is the will of God. Keep reading. It is needful. We need the Lord to teach us the truth that we are to suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. Love suffereth long and is kind. He goes to Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. This is where I want to come here. I may just close right here and I'll pick up the rest later. Brother Joe, just hang on. I've got many, many scriptures that we'll read, but let's just read this and we'll close. It's 11:40 now. The cloudy skies and storms of life are no sign of God's disapproval. You can't measure what's going on in your daily life by that. That is not a measure. The cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Neither when you get up in the morning and the birds are singing and a butterfly lands on your finger when you go outside and you think, oh, the Lord is with me today. I got so much anointing on me so nothing can bother me. You go get in your car and you go, womp. Womp. Or you get going down the road, Cassie, and your motor goes, boom, $4,000 worth. But you still got that butterfly on your finger. Yeah. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. What do we got to base it on right here? His approval of any of us is only in the beloved. Who is he? That's Jesus Christ. His love is elective. which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Amen. Does he love us? Ah, yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because he said so. Not the cloudy skies. Not the sunny days. Not the trials that we're going through now, all the different things. But how shall we know? We shall know because he said so. And manifested that he did love us, for he brought us to himself. You ought to be so glad of that. That takes care of everything else that you're going through. And gave us of his spirit, placing us as sons. And how shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said. And conducting myself with what? Anger. No. And conducting myself with joy. Amidst the trials that he in his wisdom allows to come to pass. What a quote. What a quote. I want to read this one more. If you'll take this quote down to the Laodicean Church Age, Brother Joe, just go scroll through that and go down. Let's read this one and then we'll finish. I love this one. All right, look. This is us. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I am overcome and I'm sitting down with my Father. He had to overcome too. Right, Jesus Christ had to overcome the devil just like you and I do. Hello? And did he do it with signs and wonders? No. He told the devil what the Bible already said. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, in, not on, even as I also overcome and am sitting down with my Father in his throne. Now, what are we to overcome? We'll stop right here, right? What are we to overcome? That is the normal question to ask here. Why does the heathen rage? Why do I have to get up and say my prayers? And if I got to listen to one more tape today? No, it should be a joy for that to happen. That's what lights your fire, not turning on the news and watching the Liar's Channel and all them other things. I mean, come on. You gonna sit and listen to a lie for an hour and then instead of listening to a tape or read your Bible? That's life. To me, that's normal. Should be normal for you. Now that is not the actual thought of this verse, for it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how we overcome it. Remember I always talked about a laundry list? Don't write a laundry list. Because you're going to be going, well, I don't do this, I don't do that, I do this, I don't do that. God don't love me because of this. God, I did this, somebody did that. No, it's not. It's not what you overcome. It's how you overcome it. Now this is logical, for does it matter much what we are to overcome as long as we know how we overcome it? Wow. A quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus overcoming will bring out the truth of this proposition. In Matthew 4, wherein Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptations of Satan, what? By the word and by the word only. In each of three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptation of the Garden of Eden, remember the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Everybody got that? Remember, it's them two spirits in the beginning. It's them two spirits standing here right now. In this, and then us. Look, this one I want you to read. Eve fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Okay, second Eve, what are we supposed to do then? Use the word. We're the second Eve, right? First Eve fell by not using the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word. But Jesus overcame by the word. And right now let me say this, that is the only way to be an overcomer. Also, it is the only way that you can know if you're an overcomer, because that word can't fail. Now notice again how Jesus overcame the world's systems of religion. Now here we talk about the two spirits, two religious spirits now. When he was repeatedly badgered, we think we have problems. Listen, They hated Jesus. They didn't even want him around. They didn't want him in the synagogue. They hated him so much they killed him.
Right.
I really would like somebody to hate me that good. Why? Then you'd say, he's like Jesus. If we don't get persecuted like Jesus did, then I don't know that we're of Jesus. That's what he's saying. When he was repeatedly badgered by the theologians of his day, he constantly applied the word. He spake only what the Father gave him to speak. There was not a time when the world was not utterly confused, boy, by his wisdom, for it was the wisdom of God. What are you and I supposed to have? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and the love of God, which is agape love. They were not a time when the world was not utterly confused. That's the same thing they are with us. When they question us, they're in a confusion. Musicians come. They're in a confusion. They're confused that, well, this is normal. Listen, even the religious realm of people, if you even meet a real good nominal Christian and you start talking to them about water baptism or about no eternal hell or about all these great doctrines that we've been that's been revealed to us, they think you're strange.
That's right.
Amen.
Not just them people out there that smoke and drink and don't go to church. I'm talking about church people.
Right.
I'm talking about people that walk around and go to church and have on their, you know, the women, they have women preachers in their congregation or in their pulpits and all that, which is totally contrary to the Word of God.
Right.
Amen. So see, as we get closer, can we be in the ranks of the message the same way? Because we teach Daniel 70 weeks the way it's supposed to be taught. I'm just going to be truthful here. The seals, Daniel 70 weeks, the great doctrines that's been preached from this church and been preached in truth. The people in the message do the same thing to us. Be careful. Don't let them in your pulpit. They may preach something that, yeah, when you got preachers in this message that has a sign in their office that says, please don't preach on marriage and divorce, we got a problem. And that's the truth. I haven't seen it, but I've seen people that have seen it. So what are we up against now? We're up against the two spirits now that's so close that it's your idea is what's going to kill you. Listen, God don't have ideas. Oh, I got this idea. No, he's already got it. Soon as he thinks it, it becomes manifest. The devil has to think through these things. I'm sure he does because he's not a God. You know, Satan is not, I'm going to say this, Satan is not as much a God as you are if you got God in your soul. You have a creator inside of you that by your own voice you can create. Satan cannot do that. I mean, how many of us, let's stand to our feet. How many of us think, all right, here's God. Now, we know there's just one. There's not three of them sitting up there. There's one God, then here's the devil, and then here's us. God don't see it that way. He created the devil. And the devil went wrong. Now, you and I came because of that wrong. But he created us in that Genesis 1:26 man, and Satan does not understand that and cannot touch that.
Amen.
Because that is God.
Amen.
A piece of God. Satan is not a piece of God. No. He's a created being. He's not even human, Brother Bramson. He's not human. He can't create. Where does he get his power? From fear and being your enemy. But let me tell you, when we finish this next Sunday, you'll see that enemy is what's driving you to the homeland. The 200,000 demons that got into Eichmann and Hitler, them same demons, when Eichmann and Hitler died, they came on me and you through persecution of government and everything else and even somebody, even your neighbor. But what did Brother Brown say? He said it'll drive you to your homeland. which is this message of the hour. To me, then, we can be settled. Come what may, we will win. We will overcome. We will win. And I didn't get to the part where Dad and I were talking about. We're talking about death. But even now, you know, death's all around us. It's just become a normal thing. So when it comes up to me and you, what are we going to do? Because it's always that great big enemy. It's that great big Goliath. It's that thing that stands up that really, when death comes up, you really can't see nowhere. It's just all around you. But remember, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because I'm looking at the light. I'm not looking at the shadow. Because remember, what is a shadow? A shadow is behind you. If you got the S-O-N in front of you, your shadow's back here. Put your cares on Jesus. I know this is simple, but it spoke to my heart the other day when we were talking about you walk through life and we do as human beings. And you know what? Don't have a pity party. You're going to have one because you're human, but don't have a long one. Shake yourself. Devil, you're a liar. God's word is the truth. And just set your eyes toward home. Because this is not our home. Yeah, we're coming back to this, but I'm talking about this cosmos. This world order is not it's nothing for a Christian to be in. But God has protected us, though. Being in this age, He has put a dome over us and protected us. Because you and I would go crazy. Literally crazy. If we didn't know the truth. That's why they're going crazy out there. They don't know the truth. Well, what is going to happen if I die? Well, I was thinking the other day, one of the greatest things is God let Brother Brown go across that curtain of time. You know, to me, that destroyed death for him. I know he had to physically die, but that destroyed death because he said, what am I afraid of? I don't even want to go back there. Look which one was the greatest. I don't want to go back there. But he could come back and tell me and you, don't fear that. Don't fear death. Death's just a tool to get you from here to God. Into your manifestation of who you are. Then you got to wait on somebody. Somebody's got to stand one day and say, saints, don't worry. We've got death handled on this side. Now, maybe dying all over the world. But we've got it handled in this bride of Jesus Christ. So come on over on this side. Get your physical body. Come on over here and let's rejoice for about 30 or 40 days. And then we'll be changed and then we'll get out of here. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing a song.
We've been made more than conquerors.
If you have a need.
We've been made more than conquerors. Overcomers in this life.
Thank you, Lord.
We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Sing that chorus again.
We've been made more than conquerors.
You've heard the confession of our sister.
Life.
Now I confess with her too, Lord, so two or three witnesses are standing here today, Lord, knowing that your word is true, Lord, and these prayer cloths will do exactly what our sister said it would do, Lord. We thank you for these promises and truths that you give us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Everything be fine. Yes.
Don't be afraid, you know it's not like before. Don't you give in, don't let it bring you down. 'Cause you don't have to worry anymore. We've been made more than conquerors. Over overcomers in this life.
We've been witness that these prayer cloths do exactly what we say they'll do, Lord. So I pray that by the voice of our brother, Lord, that what he is going to say when he places these cloths where they need to go, Lord, that they will absolutely do exactly what he said, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Just do it. So I got to go. Yes, sir.
Don't you lean to your own understanding. Just lean on him and then we will all say, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life.
Lord, our brother has made a confession that he wants his wife to be healed, Lord. So I pray that when he lays his cloth on her, Lord, that that revelation of manifestation will come, Lord, and that that thing will go away in Jesus' name. Amen. You just speak it. You just walk in there and say what it is. All you gotta do.
Overcomers in this life. We the bride, we are victorious. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. First verse. Now troubles may come knocking at your door. But don't be afraid, you know it's not like before. Don't you give in, don't let it bring you down. 'Cause you don't have to worry anymore. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
You keep saying it every morning.
Verse. Now hold on.
Amen.
We're getting stronger every day.
When you take there's these things no and you take these prayer cloths,
you
when you lay them
astray,
on that whoever you give them to, you pronounce
don't
it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Your own understanding.
That's your authority.
Just lean on
not just the anointing oil, that's just oil. That's just a cloth. But your mouth, your confession, you put that confession in the airwaves and see if God will not do what he said he would do. Lay it on there and pronounce it in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan hates that name.
Of Jesus Christ.
Let's sing it now.
We have been made more than conquerors.
You believe that?
Overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious. Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
And guess what? We had a prophet pronounce one day. He said, the bride is the blood by the Spirit. So that blood, that covering, we have become that. The bride is the blood by the Spirit. So by the Spirit of God that's inside of you. Listen, it wasn't the physical blood that saves you. The physical blood just kind of went down into the ground and it's kind of gone.
Yes.
But the life, the power that laid in the life that flowed through that blood, that's what you need to accept. But the bride is the blood by the Spirit. What a quote. Think about that. That makes us kinfolk. Where's the DNA come from? Yep. You say, oh no, it comes from a hair. Your hair's what makes your blood. Your blood's what makes your hair. Your blood's a lifeline, right? Without your blood, you don't have anything. But that life in that blood, it's the life behind that makes the demon tremble. Satan thought he had him hanging on a cross, the blood was coming out of his body. But he just didn't know that he released the most powerful force that had ever been released since somebody said, let there be. Because he released it out of that shell. And the first thing Satan knew, he was standing looking at him face to face. Satan says, what are you doing down here? He said, well, I just paid a price. And I've come to claim what's mine. Give me the keys. Give me the keys. And while I'm at it, I'm going to stop by paradise. And all them that died in faith, I'm going to take them with me. Satan, you don't even know where I'm taking them. And on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 little Jesuses born. And Satan's going crazy and been going crazy ever since. He has no power unless God allows him. And if God allows him, it's for your benefit. I'll read it next Sunday. It's for your benefit when God releases the devil on you. Because Satan thinks he's going to turn you. Some way he's going to try to turn you back to serving him. But what is there? There's an anchor. There's something in there Satan cannot understand. He can't understand why you can't go right back to what you were doing. Because he don't have that thing in him. But you do. You hold on to that. Trials, tribulations, whatever it is. Sickness, death, sorrow, pain. We got to go through it. We must suffer to reign. But you know what? The reigning is for an eternity. This mile that we're going through now, it's just mile. But that reign will be for an eternity, and you'll never have to worry about sickness, death, sorrow, pain, no more. That's why, Brother Dale, we were talking about, you know, you can't kill a Christian. You can just separate him from this dimension, but you can't kill a Christian. You're actually more alive when you're in the sixth, like Jesus. Jesus was trapped in a body that looked like it was 50 years old, but it was only 30, right? But when he died on that cross and released that life, that there was that 20-year-old guy that Satan said, didn't I meet you back? Weren't we here? Didn't you create me? Are we? He's looking at that 20-year-old guy again. The creator. That's why you and I are going to be changed back to a young man and woman, because Jesus, our God, has always been a young man. Because we were created in his image. Not this image, we were created in his image. So you're, right now, we're all the same age. 18, 20 years old, inside of you, is what's going to carry you out of here. If you don't have it in you, folks, it's not going to carry you. You're gonna suffer a worse fate than you ever think. A little bit of suffering of not doing this and not doing, I can't go to do this and I can't have a beer with my friends. Come on, people. Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on to God. Forget about the world. Hold on to what God said. Because listen, if you grab a hold of Satan's hand, you know where he's going to take you? He's going to take you to hell. He can't take you anywhere else. He'll start with hell on earth and he'll take you to hell in that other dimension. But if you hang on to God. I like what a preacher said one time. He said, we have attached ourselves to the eternal. And that's what it is. We've attached ourselves to the eternal. So how can we lose? We can't lose. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the overcoming power that you give us, Lord. It's not something that we have to go to school for, basically, or try to learn and memorize. Lord, it's that tie post that's down inside that when you had a prophet one time, Lord, we were going to get into this later on, but I'll say it now. You had a little prophet in the early 1900s, and he had a sweet little wife, had a little baby named Sharon Rose. And he was doing all he could to preach the gospel. And Lord, his wife lay dying, and his baby died a few days later. Lord, that would rattle us. And it did rattle him and his humanity. But somebody asked Brother Branham, said, oh, said, did you hold on to your religion? He said, no. He said, my religion held on to me. And that's what we must do, Lord. We must suffer some of these temporary things so that we can reign with you, Lord. You're a gracious Father. Lord, I pray that you would bless us now as a church. Bless us now as a people. On our way home, on the highways, we know one thing's for sure. Satan is mad. But he can't touch us. Father, you've put a hedge around us. But you know what we need for perfection. And you know what we need to overcome with, Lord. And that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that we'll get a refilling today. Let it create a revival in our heart as we've been preaching on, Lord, back when several months ago, Lord. That we'll look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Not depend on anything else but your word, Lord. Go with us, Lord. Be with Brother Dale, Brother Terrence, all the different ones that are coming out of this. And Lord, that we'll gather back together as one. And Lord, even though we may be scattered, we are still one. One body. The beautiful. Unmatchable. White as snow body of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for telling us these things. Thank you for sending a prophet, Lord, in the end time that could tell us these many secrets, Lord, and that the bride will become all those things that he's saying. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for giving us eternal life. We pray that you'd be with us now till we come back on Wednesday night. Be with Brother Aaron as he studies, Lord, to minister to us. Father, give us strength for this journey. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. God bless you. I'm going with God.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been